Today's episode, as you would have seen, is overcoming imposter syndrome and building career confidence. Why don't I have high levels of self-belief? Where did that come from? Where did I learn that behavior from? Where did those thoughts come from? Where did those patterns of behaviors get installed? My mum's quite a negative person. She's got low levels of self-belief. She's always picking herself apart. That's interesting. I've probably picked that up from her.
A really powerful one that's come up for me recently is the guilt and imposter syndrome around being a working mum.
When it comes to overcoming imposter syndrome, we set these massive goals, well, I used to anyway, and say, I'll be happy when, I'll be worthy when, I'll feel good about myself when. And the bottom line to everything is nothing externally is going to make you feel any different internally. I know that comparison is the thief of joy, so I do my absolute best not to compare myself, to run my own race and define what success means to me. But oh my God, it is so easy to compare yourself. Welcome to another episode of the Career Confidence Podcast. And with me today is a special guest, my co-host, Pam Caldwell. Pam, amazing to have you with me again today. How are you feeling this morning? How's your morning been so far?
Oh, it's actually been great. I had a lovely morning with the girls, made myself a nice little cheese toastie, got on down to the water and sat and ate my toastie by the sea. Oh. So it's been a lovely morning. It's just coming into that time of year and I plan on embracing every single sunny morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. I went on a good bike ride this morning and had my coffee, and I'm really excited to be doing this episode with you today, Pam, and also sharing this really important topic, something that Pam and I have actually spoken quite a lot about recently to a lot of our clients, to a lot of our candidates. And we actually went into 7-Eleven to present on this very topic. So it's something that seems to be coming up a lot right now. And that's always a good sign to talk about something on the podcast. So today's episode, as you would have seen, is overcoming imposter syndrome and building career confidence in what we think are 5 reasonably easy steps. So look, the first thing before we sort of get into the steps, because I think everyone wants steps, like how can I overcome things, is to first acknowledge what actually is imposter syndrome. And when we were in the 7-Eleven offices the other day, it was interesting because I think people think it's something that's maybe even a medical condition. And I think as soon as you say that, you think, oh God, I can't do anything about it. But honestly, simply put, it is the feeling of feeling like you're a fraud, that you're not good enough, that you're just lucky, and where you are in life is, it's not down to your ability, your skills, your strengths, and what you've actually achieved. So I know personally, and let's talk about our own experience first, just sort of set the scene. So I think storytelling is really powerful, but I have honestly experienced imposter syndrome in my life, in my career, and now starting to see solutions with you so many times. The first one I'll quickly talk about, and then Pam, I want to go to you about a recent one that you've also experienced. But I'll take you back to when I first started in recruitment, and this was 10 years ago now. And I remember vividly going into the office every single day and honestly feeling like a fraud, like I wasn't good enough, like I was never going to be good enough. And I was constantly comparing myself to every person in the office that was better than me, was more experienced than me, that seemed to be more talented than me. And on reflection now, when I look back at that situation, it wasn't that fact that they were, of course they were better than me, but they were better than me because they'd also been in the job for 5 years and I'd been in the job for pretty much 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So that was an early on scenario. And I remember feeling just honestly just not good enough. And it was such an awful feeling every single day. And had I had really started to listen to those voices in my head and not actively try to get better, I could have honestly quit that job and never pursued a career in recruitment, and I wouldn't be sat here now. So the first thing, and we'll go on to this, is acknowledging how you feel day to day, but also know that you do have the power to do something about that. So that was the first thing when I think about imposter syndrome early on in my career that I experienced, just comparing myself, not feeling good enough to my colleagues and coworkers. And had I listened to that inner critic, I would not be sat here today. So Pam, what's been I guess, your experience about imposter syndrome?
Look, I also have had many, many times where I have experienced imposter syndrome. However, it's not until I was in my early 30s that I'd even heard of the phrase imposter syndrome. So it is powerful what you've said. I think the first step is actually around that awareness piece and understand that this is your own thoughts, you're caught in your own mind, and to have the ability to be able to process that. Look, I think a really powerful one that's come up for me recently is the guilt and imposter syndrome around being a working mum. Like, one of the most powerful things that's come up for me recently is just the comparison piece. And for someone that has fairly high levels of self-belief, and I am really confident in my own abilities, it still happens to me. So it's more common than you think. And there's so many people around about you that will be experiencing this too. But definitely the most powerful one for me recently has been the imposter syndrome around, am I a good enough mum? Am I showing up enough for my daughters? Am I giving them enough for me? And I had to sort of pause and stop and really, this is something that's a constant work in progress for me. Like, I really have to recognize this quite a lot because it does come up often, and just recognize that I'm not a stay-at-home mum, but I do choose to have a career. And by having that time away, I am able to show up in a better capacity when I am at home or when I'm with the girls, whether that be through the week or the weekends. But it's just the comparison thing for me as a mum and as a working parent is one that's really quite powerful, and it's one that I need to keep in check in all the time. But I think definitely the awareness piece and understanding that these are your thoughts and this is a battle of your own mind, and it's something that you have to work through, is so powerful. So just the fact that you're listening to this today and you now have an awareness of what imposter syndrome is, start to relate and think to yourself, right, okay, what thoughts are going through my head at the moment? And that awareness piece will enable you to sort of kick off a process of trying to work through and developing some strategies that can help you cope.
100%. And what you've in a really sort of important way illustrated there is that imposter syndrome doesn't just come up in our lives, sorry, in our careers and our business. It also comes up in our personal lives as well. And parenting, I think, is definitely an area where most women, I would imagine especially, would be able to relate to. So yeah, thanks for sharing that, because I'm sure there's a lot of women out there nodding their head and thinking, am I getting it right? You know, and guilt, even though it doesn't serve us, it is a real emotion, and we have to acknowledge those thoughts and those feelings and work through them, like you said. And one final, I guess, story or example I want to share is that, you know, even just very, very recently, even the amount of work I do on myself and my self-belief and confidence, I recently interviewed Janine Alice on the podcast, and it was such a moment because she's been such a huge idol in my own life. And I had a moment, at my office desk on a Friday afternoon, and I was thinking about the podcast. I was thinking about who would I love to interview. And she popped up, and I thought, oh, maybe I'll just message her. And I was like, oh, no, I can't message her. It's Janine Alice. Like, cause she must get reached out to all the time. Why should she be on my podcast? And I caught myself in that second thinking that thought. And what that ultimately was saying to myself is, I'm not good enough to interview Janine Alice. This podcast isn't good enough for Janine Alice. And I thought, no, actually, absolutely, this podcast deserves to have Janine Alice. And absolutely, I want to bring Janine Alice to the audience. And, you know, absolutely, I'm good enough to interview Janine Alice. And I thought, right, I'm going to sit here and send her a message. And I've reached out to her on LinkedIn. And I thought, right, what will be, will be. But the courage it actually took to do that, and had I have listened to those inner critics, the inner critic, those negative thoughts, I never would have reached out in the first place. So it's kind of case in point that we are always going to have negative thoughts. We are always going to have these feelings of feeling like a fraud or an imposter, or not being good enough, or not being ready. But if you choose not to listen to those, or you choose to go, oh, thanks to the thought, that's my brain just trying to protect me, keep me safe, keep me in my comfort zone, and you decide to do it anyway, the confidence that builds, and then that's how you, I honestly believe, overcome the inner critic and those imposter thoughts that we all think and all feel from time to time. So just some examples there of being a parent, in your work, in your career, whatever you're doing. And what I found as well, and I don't know how if you've experienced this as well, Pam, but whenever I'm doing something that's outside of my comfort zone, that's pushing me to be better, that's when it shows up the most. When I am, for example, like about to step on stage to on a panel, I'm like, oh God, I'm not good enough. Why have they chosen me? Oh my God, what if I, who am I to speak on this topic? Like that's when you've got to be so aware of your thoughts of when you're about to do something and challenge yourself in a new way, because typically that's when it comes up. And yeah, love to get your thoughts. Have you ever experienced that as well? I mean, even actually just before we jumped on, you were like, I've done a podcast in ages and oh God.
Absolutely.
Happened 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, but I think the key thing then what you've just said there is start before you're ready.
Yes.
You have to start. And that is when the growth comes, when you push yourself to do things that you personally don't quite feel ready to do. Just start. And I have actually acknowledged it a few times on the podcast. Actually speaking on the podcast was an incredibly uncomfortable process for me, but learn to enjoy that, learn to embrace it, learn to enjoy the journey of being uncomfortable and showing up in a capacity of things that you wouldn't usually do. And without giving yourself exposure to things like that, without really embracing those new experiences, you don't know what you're missing out on. So just start and push through those thoughts. I can't do this. Who am I to be sitting here? Who wants to listen to me? The answer is quite a lot of people, yeah. You know, but you have to start. So it's really interesting. But I think starting and just trying new things is really powerful in pushing through the thoughts that you're battling with in your own mind.
100%. And I guess one final thing before we move on to the steps that we've personally taken and from what the research tells us as well, but the power of who you're surrounded with as well, because one thing I think that you and I have always done very well is we have supported each other. We have pushed each other, and we also very gratefully have very supportive partners, which I also want to acknowledge, and other friends around us and family members that give us that little push sometimes that we need to say, you have got this, go for it. And I want to acknowledge that. And not everyone, unfortunately and sadly enough, has that. But that's why just by listening to this podcast right now, you can surround yourself with other people that are pushing themselves and want to be better. So if you don't find yourself that you're getting the support needed to do those challenging things, listen to more podcasts, read more books, and find the inner courage, because like Pam just said then, you have got a talent, you have got a skills to share with the world. And if you don't share it, then it's going to be an absolute tragedy. So keep sharing, keep showing up. And let's talk about how we're going to overcome imposter syndrome now as well. So the first thing, and we have sort of spoken about this briefly when we were just chatting before, is I guess recognizing and addressing the self-doubt, because once you are aware of something, you do have the power to change it. And I absolutely love that quote, because I think so many people go through life completely unconscious of their thoughts, of their emotions, and they just sort of wake up one day and go, how did I get here? Why aren't I happy? What's going on? Why am I unhealthy? Why am I in a job I hate? Where did life go so wrong? And I think so many people wake up every day really sadly, just looking around and not really understanding what has happened and what has gone wrong. So the first thing I think to overcome imposter syndrome, to get to the next level of life, or to do strive for anything that's going to require a level of skill and strength and confidence, is to acknowledge where you're at, your repetitive thoughts, your inner critic, and know that what's got you here isn't going to get you to the next level. So the first thing is recognizing your negative thought patterns, recognizing throughout the day, how am I feeling right now? Just checking in with yourself. But self-awareness is honestly the first step to change, because as I just said, once you're aware of something, you have the power to change it. So Pam, any thoughts on that? And also I think that you are very self-aware. So anything that you've done to work on your self-awareness over the years as well.
Yeah, I think as well, recognizing that you are not alone. That's really powerful. So it is okay to have self-doubt. It is okay to have low levels of self-belief for certain things. It's okay to be feeling this way. These thoughts are completely normal and you're not alone. So the first thing is also not feeling as though you're going mad or you're the only person that experiences these feelings. You are not. Everyone that knows me knows that I love my guilty pleasure is the Kardashians. And I did watch an episode the other night, and even Kim Kardashian, you know, she is a modern day icon, right? She really is. There's hardly someone you could go to every corner of the world and people would know her name. She to this day still experiences imposter syndrome. So there you have it, right? We all experiencing it, but definitely the self-awareness piece is really important, and being aware of your own thoughts is really powerful. And I think not only can I relate the self-awareness to really starting to understand my own imposter syndrome and things that I have to overcome, I can also relate it to periods of my life where I've had incredible anxiety that I've had to work through. And the self-awareness of being able to really unpack my feelings and my thoughts that were going through my head in those particular periods and sort of work through those. Everything starts with that self-awareness. If you want to grow and you want to be able to push yourself through some really uncomfortable situations in life, because, you know, you are going to come up against obstacles, you are going to come up against challenges. And if you want to carve out a certain career for yourself, or you've got milestones or achievements in your life that you really want to work towards and you want to pursue, you're going to end up in really uncomfortable situations, and you need to have the self-awareness to understand how you're going to actually really push through that. And I would say that very close to self-awareness is self-belief.
Yeah.
I think that's a really powerful one that really has to be a constant work in progress. And as I say, like I am quietly confident in my own abilities. I would like to say that I am quite a humble person, but I do genuinely believe in myself. I do have those strong levels of self-belief. But I still have to work on it because I still experience imposter syndrome. But would you agree, Georgie, like the self-awareness and the self-belief are quite closely intertwined?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And I think I actually said this on a podcast the other day. When it comes to self-belief, I believe that that is something that usually gets installed in us from a very young age. And I don't think anyone is just born with high levels. Well, I think we are. We all start off in life, and, you know, as babies, you know, we don't look in the mirror and start picking ourselves apart. So we all start actually probably very confident in our abilities. And, you know, we're not telling ourselves, oh, I'm not going to be able to walk today, or I'm not going to be able to, you know, climb up that tree today, or whatever it is, right? If you're a kid. But life sort of tends to grind us down. We're very influenced by the people around us. So if you find yourself having very low levels of self-belief, we're actually going to go into this in a minute because it's covered in the next few points, but it is acknowledging that first and foremost. Again, that all comes back to self-awareness. Like, why don't I have high levels of self-belief? Where did that come from? Where did I learn that behavior from? Where did those thoughts come from? Where did those patterns of behaviors get installed? Okay, my mum's quite a negative person. She's got low levels of self-belief. She's always picking herself apart. That's interesting. I've probably picked it up from her. Or actually my friendship group that I hang out in with the most, they're actually quite negative. They're actually, you know, they don't have much confidence in their ability and in the way they look or anything. So we are very influenced by the people around us, and our upbringings do impact us. So again, you can change it. You always have the power to change it. I truly believe that. But you've got to want to. You've got to surround yourself with people that are also wanting to make themselves better. And you've got to build up the self-awareness, because that is honestly the first thing to change. And one final thing on self-awareness that's really helped me build up that skill is through meditation and journaling. Because meditation, you quiet the mind, and meditation actually means becoming familiar with yourself. I learned that recently. So meditation, people think, oh, I just don't want to sit down. My mind's so busy. Well, all the more reason to sit down, because then you actually become aware of the thoughts that you are thinking. So that's the first step that I took to build up my own self-awareness. And then through that self-awareness piece, realize where my limiting beliefs were coming from, where my blockers were coming from. And then the final thing that's really helped me is journaling. And every day, at the end of a day, I write down what's gone well today, what could have gone better, where did I fall short today, and how do I want to show up tomorrow? And that whole practice of doing that. And look, I'll be honest, there's days where I don't get that perfect, but I would say 4 out of the 7 days a week, I follow that practice to an absolute T, and I can actually feel the difference when I don't do it. Because the next morning I wake up, if I've missed my meditation, I go, well, I'm just not feeling quite, you know, my usual, like, you know, good self today. So these are just some practices that have really helped me personally build up my self-awareness, and through that, identifying some blockers and working through them. So that is absolutely the key piece. We want to overcome imposter syndrome and really get to the next level in life. Work on your self-awareness, work on yourself. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I wanted to quickly pop in and talk to you about our amazing supporter, CH Talent Solutions. We are an IT and digital recruitment company based in Australia. If you are someone right now looking for a new opportunity or considering a career pivot, please reach out to one of our consultants. Or if you are somebody looking to build your team or build your company or scale, again, please reach out to us if you are looking to find the best tech talent fast. I look forward to connecting with you. Now back to today's episode. Enjoy. The second thing that I think you and I have got much better at is celebrating the small wins. When it comes to overcoming imposter syndrome, we set these massive goals, well, I used to anyway, and say, I'll be happy when, I'll be worthy when, I'll feel good about myself when. And the bottom line to everything is nothing externally is going to make you feel any different internally. Yes, okay, it can bring you short-term happiness, a brief feeling of excitement, but it is the inner work that counts. And it is honestly every single day noticing a win. Right? You don't snap back at your kids or your partner. That's a win.
That's
a huge win, right? You know, something, for example, it's in our business, in our recruiting business, we find a good candidate. That's a win, right? We get an interview. That's a bigger win. But what we used to do when we first started the business is we set a goal and it would be like, a candidate secures a job. Next. We didn't ever pause to just acknowledge, wow, like, we're doing this. Mm-hmm. We're actually making this happen. So you and I have both been, we've gone through this a lot. We've set the goal so high, we've not celebrated until the goal's been hit. And in the middle of all of that, reaching that goal, there was a lot of joy that we probably missed out on. What are your thoughts on celebrating the wins? Why is it so important?
Well, I think what the key thing here is, enjoy the journey.
Yes.
Embrace the journey. Take a breath. Stop and enjoy the achievements on a day-to-day basis. Get to the end of your day and think, what did I achieve today? So even in your career, for example, if you are at the point of your career where you would actually love to use your voice more professionally, you would love to speak up more at a round table or a daily stand-up. You would love to be more of a contributor, but you don't feel as though you've quite got the experience yet, or you don't feel like your opinions are valid enough, or you don't feel as clever as the people you're surrounded by. And you have a huge goal of, over the next 12 months, maybe running one of these daily stand-ups. That is not going to happen overnight. So it's important to really celebrate and acknowledge the journey and the steps that you then take to actually get there in the future. So for example, if you're doing your Monday morning daily stand-up and you manage to offer an opinion that is welcomed by the team, give yourself a pat on the back, like pause and actually take a moment to feel proud of yourself. But enjoying the journey is just so important. If you don't stop and pause and do that, you blink and it's over.
Yeah.
And then what was it all for? Mm-hmm. Just celebrate and be proud of yourself. Be proud of the small achievements that and the small steps that you take to get to where you really want to be. But we have got so much better at that. I am really proud of us in terms of the way that we've, I would probably say the first 3 years we definitely didn't, of CH Solutions, we probably weren't that good at it. Mm-hmm. And then we got a little bit better. But this year, the past 12 months, I think that it's been a really powerful year in terms of celebrating all the wins. And I actually think that that's also part of navigating through some real challenges in a business as well. I think sometimes it takes for you to go through some really challenging times to realizing what you do on a day-to-day basis actually deserves to be celebrated and deserves to be acknowledged. So absolutely embrace the journey, guys. Like, enjoy the journey. Just like take little bits from your day-to-day that you're really proud of, because there's always something that you can find. Mm. Look for it.
Oh God. I mean, honestly, I could speak about this all day, but I think that the final thing as well, when I reflect on when I didn't celebrate the small wins, is I really lost motivation and momentum for the business as well.
Yeah.
Because it lost the joy for me for a period. And that's probably a whole other episode in itself. But I think now coming with a fresh perspective after sort of taking really a year out when I was doing other things and exploring other avenues, coming back into CH Solutions again and working more in it than on it, it has reminded me of how important it is to take stock of not just every quarter or year, every day. Just be like, how was I better today? And or where are the areas I need to work on, and what's gone really well today, and be grateful every single day. And it sounds so like woo-woo, wishy-washy, but honestly, like, I know what the other feels like. And it sucks, and it's the quickest way to burn out and lack motivation and ultimately then just fall out of love with your career and your business. And honestly, I think there is so much goodness in every single day if we choose to look at it that way. And life is, honestly, it's just the way I believe we look at things, right? You know, everyone's living in the same world, but some people will have a very different outlook to other people. And it's just the way we frame things, and it's just our perception of things. And my perception of CH Solutions has completely changed in the last 12 months from being back in it and realizing what actually we have built and what we've done. And it's just been a complete frame shift for me. And it's made all the difference in my happiness and enthusiasm for the business again. So it really is important to, yeah, celebrate those wins, because it does build up the momentum and it does definitely make the journey, as you said, Pam, so enjoyable.
Yeah. And I think like a key takeaway from this can be as well that if you are working in a professional capacity at the moment and you're part of a team where it's almost like life in the fast lane, let's just foot on the gas, let's just go until this project's completed, and then we'll all, as you say, burn out and crash when it's delivered. Make a suggestion that you implement these practices, and it doesn't have to be daily, but what about if at the end of the week as a team you recommend or make a suggestion that you either all hop online on the Zoom, or the one day that you guys are all in office together, that you sit and you do a round table and you actually all individually have to go around the table and talk about and celebrate an achievement. Just implement these little practices into your team, and then that way it makes it a lot more powerful, and it makes it a practice that you're actually sharing with others as well. And that can be really powerful, but it also holds you accountable to make sure that you're actually pausing to reflect on your own achievements and celebrate those small wins. Crack that champagne, especially when it's a big one.
Crack the champagne, absolutely. So we've kind of actually touched upon this already, but number three, the third step that we have also done is create a brag sheet. And this was actually something that came up on a recent podcast, which I'll link below. But a brag sheet, all the things that you feel that you've done really well in the past, and stack the evidence, get that evidence. And any time that you feel like you're doubting yourself, or you're talking yourself out of something, or you want to say something in a meeting, but you're like nervous to say it, build yourself that brag sheet. write down everything you're proud of, everything that you've achieved in your life so far, everything on it. I want it absolutely packed full of things, because we've all done things in our life that we can be proud of, all of us, every single one of them, however small. But start to create your own brag sheet and write down all of your strengths, everything that you're amazing at, and you'll see, you go, oh God, actually, like I'm going to pat myself on the back here, and I'm pretty bloody great. Yeah. So that's really, really important. So if you do constantly struggle with imposter syndrome, if you are struggling with low levels of self-esteem and you have a lot of self-doubt, create that brag sheet and just pack it full of everything that you are proud of on there.
Can I say something that I think will be quite interesting?
Yes, definitely.
I would not be surprised, and you can send us a message and pop links in the show notes. I bet that the majority of people listening to this will feel very uncomfortable doing that. Very uncomfortable sitting and unpacking like a brag sheet, because I personally, that's something that I find quite uncomfortable. I don't like to feel as though I'm bragging. I do err on the side of the humble don't stumble. So therefore, if I was to sit and write a brag sheet, it would have to be private, because I would almost cringe beyond belief if I felt like I had to share that on a platform.
Yeah.
So I get like, course I have imposter syndrome, because that's how I feel about, you know, showcasing. I feel as though it's like a saying, oh my God, look at me, I'm so amazing. And I would hate to be that kind of person. But I think a lot of women in particular, let's be honest, how many women do we speak with on a weekly basis? How many women do we set up for interviews? How much more coaching do we have to give women for going into an interview session to make sure that they feel confident enough to display their capabilities and actually talk to their achievements, talk to their successes? Like, this is a huge one, and it's one that we all do need to practice in the comfort of our own homes. Sit and write out what you are goddamn good at, because there's a lot of stuff. But when you first start actually putting pen to paper and talking out loud about your achievements and what you're really good at, it can feel really uncomfortable for a lot of us, really uncomfortable, embarrassing. As I say, like, you start to feel a little bit cringy, but get used to talking about what you're good at. Get used to celebrating your own successes, because if you ain't flying your own flag, you can't expect someone else to be flying it for you. You have got to be your own biggest supporter. So get that brag sheet ready and get comfortable with talking about how fantastic you are. That's a great one. It is really powerful.
100%. And look, you don't have to post online and, you know, write all your brags in your CV and your LinkedIn profile. Like, you know, maybe don't do that. But I think it's in private, it is important to do some reflection.
Be your own biggest fan.
Be your own biggest fan. Believe in yourself. Because honestly, even a situation we've had this week in our business, we're recruiting for a company right now. And one of the things that the hiring manager wants, she's a female herself, she's like, I need somebody who is assertive and believes in their abilities. Right? That came out of her mouth, because the role is a leadership position. It's going to require dealing with a lot of challenging stakeholders. She's got to go around the business and get their buy-in. So she needs somebody in that role that's going to come in and be like, listen, we need to do this and we need to do this now, and have that belief and that assertiveness in his or her capabilities. So if you aren't able to express yourself, if you're not able to use your voice, if you don't believe that you've got the capabilities to demand attention and to get things done, then you're going to stumble in your career. You're going to hold yourself back. So that's why acknowledging what you've done well, acknowledging your achievements is so important. It doesn't make you cocky, it doesn't make you arrogant. It's going to start building the evidence that you need to take the next step, whether that's in your career, your business, your life. But it's really, really important to focus on our strength, because I think our natural default is to focus on things we're not good at. And then that leads into a very negative spiral. So create a brag sheet. And, you know, if you want to send that to Pam or I, we'd love to read it. And we'll be your biggest cheerleaders and fans as well. So on to point number four, kind of we were speaking about this at the start as well, but the importance of running your own race and not comparing yourself to other people. And look, I honestly think this is actually, again, this could be a podcast in itself, because we live in a world now where we're not just comparing ourselves with the Joneses next door. We're not just looking, oh, look at their garden, look at their lawn, look at their new car, look at what they're wearing. We're comparing ourselves to the Kardashians. to the influencers out there, to every single person on social media. And it is so easy to jump on Instagram, jump on Facebook, jump on LinkedIn, and instantly feel like a failure, instantly feel like you're not good enough. And honestly, it's so toxic. However much I love social media and I love everything it's given up to us in our business, if it's not used correctly, if it's not used with boundaries, it's so easy. And I still do it now. I'll give you an example this weekend. I mean, I went in and I was looking at my wardrobe and I thought, oh my God, Georgina, you need a complete revamp. Mm-hmm. And then I went onto Instagram and I'm going onto all these influencers, these fashion bloggers. And I go, I've got no chance. Like they are, I don't know how they do it. They just literally like throw these jeans on and these jumpers on and they just look freaking fantastic. And then I go to the same shop that they've got the clothes from and I try on and I go, what is going on here? Like, well, how do they make it look so good? But I'm grateful that I know that comparison is the thief of joy. So I do my absolute best not to compare myself, to run my own race and define what success means to me. But oh my God, it is so easy to compare yourself these days and to feel not good enough, like a fraud. And honestly, what that can do to your self-belief and confidence is terrible, right?
It's terrible. But you've just said exactly a phrase that I was going to coin. Mm-hmm. Comparison is the thief of joy, and it is all too easy to do it with social media at our fingertips, left, right, and center. And the reality is we are all running our own race and we're all on our own timeline. Doesn't matter what age you are. You know, you could be 52 just starting out in your career because you've dedicated your 30s and your 40s to raising your family. You could be, you know, we are just genuinely all in our own timeline. But I'm very good at not comparing myself to others in a lot of facets of my life, but it genuinely is. It's the motherhood one for me. That is, and I've got a funny story. I was actually watching a program called Escape to the Chateau, and the woman in that is like mum 101. She's just fantastic at arts and crafts. And there was one episode where she's making cushions and my six-year-old daughter at the time, Emily, said, "Mum, I really wish you could do that." So it was one flippant little statement that stayed in my mind. Off she went to bed. There's me. I'm on eBay and I'm looking for a Singer sewing machine.
God, I remember when you said you wanted to get a sewing machine. I looked at you and thought, have you banged your head this morning? Like, you can't sew a button on.
But, you know, I ended up laughing at myself because in that moment I was deadly serious. I was about to buy myself a sewing machine. And
I remember.
Right. But again, coming back to that self-awareness piece, right? Know yourself, know who you are and love yourself for it. I ain't the mum that's showing up at bake week at school with, you know, 72 cookies. That's not me. And having that self-awareness, but also that acceptance of who you are, know yourself so well and be comfortable with that. You are enough.
Yeah.
And that is so powerful when you're also working through imposter syndrome. So it all ties together so beautifully. When you are experiencing it and you go off on a tangent, you think you need to do all these crazy things to be like the mum next door, just take pause, take stock, reflect, and always come back to, right, let's unpack this. Self-awareness, tie in, know yourself, have the complete and utter self-belief and confidence in your own capabilities and abilities to succeed and strive and achieve whatever it is that you want to achieve. The sky is the limit, but you just got to work through these things. It takes time. We all experience it and we are all a continuous work in progress.
Sorry, I'm just laughing at the idea of you having a sewing machine.
Oh, it's really funny. If you know me, you'll know how funny that is.
Yeah, that's very funny.
Yeah, I'm not exactly, I don't think I would have been a very good 1950s housewife.
I would have been absolutely terrible. I think I was a man in my previous life because I just don't have any of those skills. Like I can't literally sew a button on. So I could if I tried. There's imposter syndrome right there. I could if I tried. But again, it's just, I run my own race. I know that's not how I want to be spending my time.
You don't want to.
But if you do have a sewing machine and you're a fantastic sewer, then hats off to you because it is such a skill. And
what's your hourly rate so that I can, you know, bring you around to teach my daughter?
Correct. But look, the final step in overcoming imposter syndrome is honestly is that whole piece. And it sounds like it's something that comes after you've overcome imposter syndrome, but it actually becomes before it. And that is stepping outside of your comfort zone. And one of the questions that I got asked the other day is, you know, Georgie, I'm really struggling. How do I go about building confidence? And confidence is such a funny one, isn't it? Because I think people go, I want to be more confident. It's like, well, confidence is a skill and it comes from courage. And I'll give you a very, very quick example, right? So one of the things I did 3 years ago now was I really wanted to improve my public speaking. And it was something that, like most of us, I got so nervous about. You know, I could barely stand up and say my name without my heart beating, sweating, you know, clammy hands, the lot. So I enrolled in Toastmasters and I did this for almost 2 years at Toastmasters. And I vividly remember going into that the first day, and it was a room full of people who were also there to better themselves and want to get better at public speaking. And just stepping into the room to start with took courage. And then over the course of the 2 years, I had to write a speech, and I used to have to get up and present it to the room. And the first time I did it, I can honestly close my eyes and put myself back into that situation right now. I can't remember it. So I think I blanked out because I was so nervous. But by the second, third, fourth, fifth time of doing it, I felt totally calm. Of course, I still got nervous, but the confidence had built because the courage to do the hard thing in the first place, that was the most challenging step. So when we talk about building self-belief, building confidence, and stepping outside your comfort zone when it comes to overcoming imposter syndrome, that is such an important step. And as I said at the beginning, you often find imposter syndrome comes when we are doing things outside of our comfort zone. Because I remember writing the speech and going, God, this is rubbish. Like, no one's going to listen to this. Like, but literally everyone was like, stood up, clapped. I mean, you have to do that, right? But still, like, people did generally say, like, Georgie, that was great, whether they meant it or not, I don't know. But the talks got better, I got better. And my point being is that I saw the poster and I could have gone, oh no, I won't do that. And I never, ever would have built up the confidence. Mm-hmm. And look, when I'm on panels and I go and do talks now, which isn't very often, but when I do it, I still get nervous, but I know it's all part of it. And I know how good I'll feel afterwards because I've got the evidence now of by doing it more often, I know I can do it. And then that breeds confidence. And then I'm able to overcome the imposter syndrome. So you've got to learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I think that's such a key point when it comes to overcoming imposter syndrome. Get good at that and understand that that feeling is just a feeling of growth. See it as excitement. And as soon as I reframed it to that, I found the courage to do it. But that's just always a funny story when I think about having courage comes before confidence, because it does. We don't just naturally get confident. Mm-hmm. We have to build up the evidence first.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And I think get comfortable being uncomfortable is an incredible phrase and one that should be a standout for what you've listened to throughout this podcast. My imposter syndrome probably held me back for many years professionally. If I can just give one pretty huge life example, I've been doing recruitment for 17 years now, and for many years I flirted with the idea, I would love to run my own talent recruitment firm. I would love to, but I can't. No, not me. I couldn't be a business owner. I couldn't do that. I couldn't start that. I can't do this because, you know, and I told myself all these stories, like I didn't feel as though I had the math skills because I wasn't really good at maths. And ultimately it got to the point where I just didn't ever think it would be a step that I would ever take. Now, gratefully in 2018, after Georgie and I had decided that we were going to register the business, I got sacked. And I had to start. Right. And looking back now, I am so grateful for that experience. I was almost floating. I didn't really know what was happening that day. But I am so grateful that I did actually get fired from my job.
Can we just say that she didn't get fired from a job because she wasn't good at a job? There's a whole backstory to that, which maybe one day we'll go into. But yeah.
So I got let go because Georgie and I had registered the business and there was a bit of a conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. But fantastic, because mm-hmm. without that experience, would I have had the courage to start? Now, I do think that I would have forced myself, but I will never know. Mm-hmm. But taking that huge leap to even register the business in the first instance was a huge act of courage after having to work through all the stories that I had told myself. But honestly, working through that fear of starting the business, and really there was a lot of stories that I had to unpack about why I wouldn't be good enough to run my own business, why I couldn't run my own business, that could have stopped me from starting. Mm-hmm. But I started when I wasn't even anywhere near ready. I started when I wasn't ready, and I was uncomfortable. I was anxiety ridden. I was full of fear, and I started. So start when you're not ready, and absolutely get comfortable with feeling uncomfortable, because the growth that I have subsequently experienced over the past 6 years of running CH Solutions, by God, it's been worth it. Mm. What a trip, what a ride, and I cannot wait for the next six. So keep pushing yourself, and that's genuinely when the growth comes. And what is life without that? The fear of pushing yourself outside your comfort zone and starting yourself can really force you to stay within your comfort zone. I wanted to stay in my comfort zone for many years because I was actually scared of the feelings. I was scared of what pushing myself outside my comfort zone would actually do to me, because I had experienced quite a lot of anxiety in my 20s and in my early 30s. And I had got to a point where I felt as though I'd got that under control. And I was scared of really pushing myself professionally and pushing myself to the next level, because I was actually scared that by pushing myself outside my comfort zone, that I would tip my mental health topsy-turvy again. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, by that point, when you've worked through certain things in your life, you learn coping mechanisms, and you learn to understand yourself, you learn to be self-aware and really work through all of these different feelings and unpack them. And you just, it's the building blocks of life, right? And I think every single experience you have, you learn more about yourself, you just experience such growth, and you're able to take yourself to the next level. So I could honestly sit and talk about this all day, because there's so many experiences that we've had personally that I think, you know, other people can really relate to. But that there's the key thing is, get comfortable with being uncomfortable and really start to unpack yourself, your feelings, what it is you want, and absolutely go for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And same, I think, you know, I think so. This holds so many people back, and everyone, no matter how quote unquote successful you are, however you want to determine that word, goes through periods in life where they don't feel good enough. And it's what we choose to do in those moments that ultimately will define us. And I know for you and I now, Pam, as things start to grow with the business, the podcast, in our own personal lives, there's going to be so many opportunities where we could go one or two ways. And I'm just playing, as Simon Sinek would say, just the infinite game. I want to just not set a glass ceiling. I just want to keep on growing and keep on getting better and just see where this takes us. And I know that part of that journey, what excites me, is that so many more obstacles, challenges, struggles are going to come up. And I know that every single time I overcome it, I grow again, I grow again, I grow again. And I believe that that is ultimately what life is about, because life never, ever stays the same. And even if you had have stayed in your comfort zone and decided to just stay with that recruitment company, who's to say you couldn't have been let go? Or who's to say that some tragedy wouldn't have happened? Like, nothing in life, you can't protect yourself. Like, you've got to keep evolving because the life around you is going to change. And if you are not constantly pushing yourself and trying to be better, you are going to be swallowed up, because the next 10, 20, 30 years in our lifetime, we're going to see more change than what we've seen in our whole life. Like, the next year, we're going to see more change than what we've probably done the last 30 years. AI, technology, everything's evolving at such a pace now where if you're not growing, if you're not pushing yourself, if you're not constantly challenging yourself to change and be better, you are really setting yourself up to fail. So it's really understanding that we've got to start working on ourselves. We've got to acknowledge imposter syndrome is all part of life. And we've got to, in my personal opinion, keep on building up our own skills to be, when we are faced with these challenges and these circumstances, to keep on overcoming them, because that's how we're going to overcome imposter syndrome, fear, and all of those negative thoughts that hold us back. But look, I just really hope that every single person that's listened to this today has just takes away that it's part of life. You're never going to avoid it. And just keep on working on yourself, keep on believing in yourself, create that those brag sheet, work on your self-awareness, and celebrate all of your achievements, because you are your big, your biggest cheerleader, biggest critic. But make sure that when you criticize yourself, you always go in, okay, how can I be better? Like, I'm not constantly telling myself I'm the best thing since sliced bread, because I know I'm not. I know I've got a lot to work on, but that also excites me, because if I was just like, oh, I've made it, I'm great, I'm the best, you know, I know that that's not going to lead to anything good. And I'm not going to be a good person with that attitude in life as well. So it's not about just patting yourself on the back and telling yourself you're amazing all the time. It's constantly also thinking about how can we get better as well. And that's also what I try and strive for every single day. But let's wrap up. So I guess final point, remember, you are the author of your own story, and you have the power to shape your own narrative. So that's a really key message I want to leave people with as well. But Pam, any final words of wisdom before we say goodbye today?
Words of wisdom. Yeah. Final notes. The only constant in life is change. So embrace it and enjoy the ride.
And on that note, thank you so much for tuning in today. We really hope that you enjoy these episodes with Pam and I. Let us know in the comments below, what do you want us to speak about? We want to hear from you. We want to hear from each and every one of you that tunes in every week. So thank you so much. We are very grateful. Please send this to anyone that you think would be interested in having a listen. And Pam and I will be back again with another episode very soon. So have a great week, and we'll speak to you soon. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoy these episodes, the number one thing you can do to help us grow and keep spreading our mission and message is to hit the subscribe button. And if you have time, give us a quick rating. Appreciate each and every one of you who tune in every week. And we look forward to bringing you many more episodes this year. Take care.